Okay, let's begin. What we are talking about is what I'm calling a series called Money Matters, which we have spoken about so far, the obligation to pay workers on time. We gave two shiurim about that. And now we are on our third shiur about what to do with lost items. So I hope that we will conclude the topic of Aveda, of lost items, tonight. And I want to discuss with you three issues. Issue number one is what are considered proper simanim. One of the major halachos with a lost item is that there's a difference between whether the item has certain defining features or not. So those are called simanim. So what are proper simanim, what are not proper simanim? That's issue one. Issue two is, how do you go about, once you've found an item, how do you go about announcing it, publicizing it, trying to return it? That's issue two. And issue three is an issue that is relevant here in this show right now, but is probably relevant in most places on this planet at some point, which is stuff accumulates, junk accumulates. What are you allowed to do or not allowed to do, or how can you prevent the problem from having the show coat rack become like a pile that goes all the way up? What can you do to solve that problem? That is the third issue that we will discuss tonight. And we'll do all of this in roughly half an hour, which means we have 10 minutes per issue, so let's get to work, right? Okay, so issue one relates to simanim. The Mishnah tells us that Amar es ha'aveda velo amar simaneha lo yiten lo, right? If a guy says, oh, I lost a jacket, I lost a watch, right? What's that? You have to give simanim. V'haramai, but if a guy's a trickster, afa pisha amar simaneha, lo yiten lo, right? Let's say you have a guy who's known to be a trickster, right? The neighborhood huckster. Is that a term that people have used since the 1950s? I don't know. But the guy who is, you know, everybody knows, like he's a deceptive Frank.
A lover.
What?
A lover.
Yeah, the lover among Jews. So even if he gives simanim, you don't return to him. Shenema adrosh achicha oto, ad shetidrosh et achicha im ramai hu im eino ramai. Right, the halacha is that adrosh achicha oto means you have to look at your brother and investigate, is this fellow a ramai? Is this fellow a deceptive individual? Usually, or if someone is not deceptive, we return an aveda with simanim. But a ramai, we don't return an aveda even if the person gives simanim. That is what the Mishnah says. Now, the Gemara then comments, Tanu Rabbanon, let's just keep on going. We'll skip 5-6 words. Right? Tanu Rabbanon, Barishona, Mikol Mishavdolo Aveda, Hayinosin Simaneha Benotla, Misha Rabba Haramain, Hiskinu Shiu Omrimlo, Tseva Have Edim, Delavra Mayat, Vitol. Originally, anyone who would give a Siman would be believed. Later on, when there's a lot of Ramaim, they said you had to prove that you are not a Ramai, and then we will give it to you with a Siman. Now, let's just take a step back. When we talk about simanim, there's a large discussion in the Gemara whether simanim is a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan, right? And effectively, Judaism breaks down into three categories. There are certain things which are called a siman mufhak ad ba'ud. It's like super duper simen. If it's a super duper simen, we will use that even for dinim d'oraisa. For example, okay, unfortunate cases. Let's say the husband of a particular woman is missing. And we have to identify whether the guy is dead or not. No? It comes up sometimes. Well, what type of simen is good for that? So, if it's a full-fledged simen, no question whatsoever, DNA evidence. No? I remember the year of September 11, 2001, it happens, I was in the Kolal in YU and we were learning the halachos of the end of Yevamos, halachos how to be matir agunas. Like, in a case where the husband is missing at sea, stuff like that, what type of evidence is necessary to determine that the husband is dead. And we always thought this is like theoretical. Right at the beginning of the year, chick, chack, boom, right? We all year were looking into the shilohs from the World Trade Center. We were dealing with it almost every morning in the front of the Beis Medrash. There was a bezin of Rabbi Shechtin, Rabbi Willigan, Rabbi Reese sometimes, Rabbi Rapp other times. And they were sitting to try to be matri the agunas. And if you have DNA evidence, almost all poskim assume that that is a simen muvhak, right? In the sense of, it's like one in a million, no? DNA evidence, like, it's pretty good. So, that for sure is enough, even for a d'oraisa, to say that the woman can get remarried without a get. Then there's other simonim, which we call a simon garua. A simon garua is a lousy simon. Right? I lost a pen. Okay, give it to me. It was black. Black pen. Okay. Who here does not have a black pen? Right? Okay, blue pen. Right? It doesn't prove anything. I lost a black Bic pen. Whoopee-doo.
But here's a blue and white pen that says Yeshivat Ovavei Torah.
Okay, So now let's talk. Right, so if it is a pen, and I just say it's a black pen, it's a blue pen, I say, that's called a simon garua, that's like not worth anything, right? Not worth anything. But then there's something called a simon emtsai. A simon emtsai is not proof positive, it's not like a one in a million. It's not like, oh, I know for sure that that's the guy because he has a mole under, like, his left ear, right? That's a simon mufak. And it's not, yeah, he was tall, whoopee, right? Half of the world is tall, the other half of the world is short, no? And if you're Jewish, probably 80% are short and like 20% are tall. But the fact is that there's a middle of the road. If I have a simen, that's a simen emtsai. It's a type of simen, like the pen says Yeshivat Chovei Torah on it. So that already might be a simon, and that's what we're talking about with respect to Aveda. Everybody holds that a super-duper simon works. Everybody holds a lousy simon doesn't work. The question is these middle simanim, and the halacha is it works unless you are a person who's known to be a ramai. So that is the basic halacha. This appears in Shulchan Aruch and Reish Samazayin Se'if Hey, Reish Samazayin Se'if Vav. These are all the dinim that basically, once a person is known to be a ramai, even if you give a simin, it doesn't help. That's the basic halacha. Now, if a person is not known to be a ramai, so they made a takana that we do not trust an average person unless you can prove that the guy is honest. Now the poskim use an expression like you have to bring edim that you're honest. However, in the later sperm they say, what type of edus can you bring that you're honest? Right? Oh, I'm going to bring, right, witnesses. How's a witness going to know? Right? The guy was with you your entire life. Like you were locked up. It's like the joke they say about the briskers, right? They finally found like a poor person who became Matanos Levyon, so they locked him in the room, right? So that, to make sure they could use him every year, right? But how do you know someone is honest? You find an honest guy, you lock him in the room, make sure he doesn't do anything. How do you know someone is honest? How can you bring Eidos of the honest? So the answer is, Rabbi Yashiv says, all the poskim say, that it doesn't have to be real Eidos. When we speak about Eidos, it means that you have to check the person out. So someone comes, right, I find a wallet, and someone comes and says, you know what, it's my wallet, there was, not like an amazing simon, it's not like that there was a nick right in the middle, right, the simon that like it's a little bit worn at the corner, right, the type of thing that could happen to many, many wallets, right? So I have to investigate the guy if he's a ramai. I say, sir, okay, thank you for coming. Tell me, by the way, who are your friends? You call the guy's friend. What shul do you daven in? You call the guy's rabbi, right? And you say, hey, you know, that fellow, Slobodan, is he honest? And they say, yes, Slobodan's an honest guy, right? Then you can return it to him. You have to do some investigation, al pi halacha, even if a guy gives a simon, it's not enough. unless you know the person is honest, or it says in Shulchan Aruch, unless you know, this is in the Sana, in Reish Samach Zayin, unless you know the person is a Tzur B'mei Rabbonon. A Tzur B'mei Rabbonon means a young Talmud Chacham. The assumption is that Talmidei Chachamim, or those studying to become Talmidei Chachamim, are known to be honest. That's what it says in the Sma. Reb Moshe Feinstein jumps up and down and spits wood and nickels and says, unfortunately, not only are young Talmidei Chachamim not honest, but we have sometimes a Talmud Chacham with a beard down to Pupik. Right? A Talmud Chacham who is, like, well-known. Like, we've had too many scandals in the community. And therefore, Reb Moshe says, you know what, this halacha, that if someone's a Talmud Chacham, that you can just return the item to them based on the assumption that they're honest is no longer true. Now, this is actually a tremendous chiddush in Rav Moshe, because the halacha really is that for a Talmud Chacham, the strict halacha, the halacha as appears in the Gemara, is a Talmud Chacham doesn't even have to give any simen. There is something called Tevias Ayin. Tevias Ayin means as follows. I think in psychology there's a thing called the Gestalt theory. The Gestalt, whatever it is. Right? If you come from Germany, you know it's Gestalt. But the basic theory is that I might not be able to identify any particular feature, but I know based on the totality that this is X, Y, or Z. No? Like, you could ask somebody, how do I know this is my phone? You know, I don't remember anything particular about this phone.
Yeah, I mean number. I'm the serial.
Yeah, okay, there's a serial. I don't remember the serial number. Right? Now, you don't remember certain things, but you know by looking at it, it's yours. I know it's my jacket. I know, like, how do you know? I know. Right? That's like the Gestalt theory. The basic idea is that this is called Tevias Ayin in Halacha. Tevias Ayin means that you just recognize it. You don't have any specific marker, but you recognize that it's yours. Me'ikar Hadin, right, according to the Gemara, a regular person has to give a simon. A Talmud Chacham doesn't even need a simon. A Talmud Chacham needs only Tevias Ayin. A Tzur B'mei Rabbonon, the young Talmud Chacham needs, right, only Tevias Ayin, that you recognize it. That's why here it says in Shulchan Aruch that if you find here Hamotze Kelim, Mikelim Shetzuras Kulam Shave, Imkoi Chadashu Harehu Shalo. Let's say I find a utensil that there's a million utensils like this. All of them are the same. They're mass produced. So if it's a new item, it's yours. In other words, if I find a brand new mass-produced keli, I can keep it. But if I find a mass-produced keli that's a little bit old, there might not be a particular simon. Nonetheless, the Mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch, says you should announce it because maybe a Talmud Chacham is going to come and say, it's mine. How do you know it's yours? I can't identify specifically Tevias Ayin. That's enough. For Talmud Chacham, Tevias Ayin is enough. The Ramah says that this halacha, again, according to Mechaber, you always announce something even with no simon because maybe a Talmud Chacham will come. The Ramah says no, only if you find an item in a place where the Talmidei Chachamim. Some people are very, some people, like in yeshivos, for example, they assume that everyone around is a Talmud Chacham. I've been around yeshivas my whole life. We'll just leave the sentence like that, we'll leave it hanging. But some assume that like in a yeshiva you should announce every item that's found, because even if there's no simen, right, Tevias Ayin helps the Talmidei Chachamim. Rav Moshe Feinstein is really saying a tremendous chiddush. Rav Moshe is saying, whoa, 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 once we are worried that today rabbis are Ramai, right? By the way, tell this to the next scandal, right? Once you're worried that a rabbi is a huckster, a trickster, whatever, so then not only does the rabbi, what's it called, do you have to find out that the rabbi is honest if he wants to give a simon? But Tevias Ayin doesn't help. Both dinim would fall away according to the Rav Moshe's assumption. Now, there is a discussion in the classical poskim related to this, the Sma. By the way, the Sma is like the first commentary in the Shulchan Aruch. He died in the 1570s or something. It's pretty early. The Sma has tzarech iyun in bizman hazeh gam ken yesh le Talmud Chacham din zeh. The Sma asks a question, do we have a halach of a Talmud Chacham today? There's many dinim of Talmidei Chachamim. There's a halacha, for example, if you insult a Talmud Chacham, you have to give asara zehuvim, a lishra de dahava. It's a special fine that's imposed for insulting a Talmud Chacham. By the way, rabbis would be so super rich, right? It would be amazing, right? If you insult a Talmud Chacham, you have to give a lishra de dahava. We paskin that we don't have such Talmidei Chachamim anymore. If you insult, I'm not recommending that you insult rabbis, but if you do that, you don't have to pay the special fine. Why not? Because we pass and we don't have Talmidei Chachamim. Says the Sma, Tzarech Iyun, do we have Talmidei Chachamim for this halacha? For Yilitra, the Dahavan Yeredea Simin Reishmem Gimon Shin Lamed Dalid. We don't have Talmidei Chachamim. For Heter Nedarim B'Yachid, right? We always do Hataras Nedarim with three rabbis. May Ikar Hadin, one rabbi is enough, as long as you're a real Talmud Chacham. We don't have Talmidei Chachamim. No such thing. So the Sma says, whoa, if we don't have Talmidei Chachamim, right? So does that apply here to Hashava Saveda? Also, the Sma leaves us, he's not sure. The Pisrei Tshuva, the top of the next page. Pisrei Tshuva quotes that the Sma says, Tzarech Iyun, but we have Talmidei Chachamim today. But the Shvus Yaakov says, yeah, we really do have Talmidei Chachamim today. However, right? It's not so clear the conclusion of Pisrei Tshuva. Basically, he's inclined that we still have Talmidei Chachamim. But what Rav Moshe is saying is that if you live in a place where even those who are known to be Talmidei Chachamim are not thoroughly honest, so you just throw the whole thing out, that's the basic din. Okay, so let's just review what we have. We return an Aveda with Simonim. Right? When we talk about a simin, if it's a super duper simin, if it is like a one in a million, so we return it without any investigation. If it's a simin like the pen says Yeshivat Chol V'Vei Torah, and Frida comes, so you have to call Frida's rabbi and say, hey, is Frida honest? Or someone who knows Frida, right? Something like that. If it's a lousy simon, they say the pen is blue, it doesn't do anything. And we also mentioned that according to the strict halacha, for Tzor ben Rabban and for a young Talmud Chacham, we return things just with Tvias Ayin without any specific identifying mark. The Gemara speaks about how there are many different things that are considered a simon, mishkal, mida, minyan, right? The weight, the measurements, the number of items is all a simon, but this is only true providing it's not standard. So if I say, oh, I found a pack of pens and there are 10 pens in it, that don't prove nothing, because all packs of pens have 10 pens in it. If I say, oh, I found a suit that's size 40, right? That doesn't prove anything. There's a million suits that are size 40, right? It doesn't prove anything. It's mass-produced that way. If, however, you know exactly, oh, it's 37 inches by 41 inches that way on the other side, like, oh yeah, one arm is longer than the other arm, the tailor had to make a little bit, oh, that's a simon already. No? Those types of things, Mishkal Midah Minyan is a simon. That says in Shulchan Aruch. Now, by the way, the terms over here in Shulchan Aruch are a little bit complicated, because sometimes the term simon mufhak is used in Shulchan Aruch to mean a mid-level simin. Sometimes simin mufhak means a top-level simin. No idea. That's the complication. That's why Judaism is so much fun. Now, there is a discussion also about makom, that the location of something is a simin. However, the Gemara speaks about habaraksa de nahara. Let's say I have a river that is the dock where you unload stuff. So everyone leaves stuff at the dock because the boats come and you unload the stuff. So if it's Beraksid in the Hara, then it is not a simon, right? It is a simon if it's in the Makom, the place, the location is ordinarily a simon. But if it's a place where people always leave stuff, then it is not a simon. So if I want to come and I say, someone says they found the coat, and I say, yeah, it was on the coat rack. Makom is a simon. Like, no, the hecky, that doesn't tell. Everyone leaves their items on the coat rack, right? You find the towel in the mikvah, right? And you say, yeah, yeah, it's a towel in the mikvah, yeah, yeah. Sure. That's not a sim. Makom, come on, everyone leaves their stuff there. That is not a simon, right? That's the halacha I give you over here, a tshuva of the Minchas Yitzchak in Chelek Gimel Simen Yud Zayin. The Minchas Yitzchak basically writes that a towel in the mikvah is not a simon. The question that is a little bit unanswerable on Poskim is, let's say I have exactly a specific location. I say, yeah, the towel's on the fourth hook on the second row. That's a little bit better. Does that help? So my understanding is that that's actually two opinions in the Ritva on the bottom of page two over here. Most poskim assume that even if I give a very, very specific makom, a very specific location, still it does not help as a simen. The other thing to talk about with respect to a simen is that a simen does not have to be on the item itself. In other words, if I find a donkey and I recognize the saddle on the donkey, okay, this happens all the time in Washington Heights, no? We are actually the donkey capital of the world. Whatever. I have so many jokes to say, and I'm going to hold back. It's hard. But the point is that we return a matzah chamor v'ukav she'elov hanosin simen v'ukav machzirun ol gam chamor. If I give a simen on the saddle, you can also return the donkey. The basic idea over here is that if the things go together, a simen on the container works for the thing itself, I think that is fairly understandable, no? So if I find a wallet and I have a simen on the wallet, I don't say, okay, so you take the wallet, I'll take the money. Oh. Right? Yeah, bring me the serial numbers on the dollar bills. By the way, that also would not help. The Gemara says that since money is spent, even if you happen to be... Remember Rain Man?
Yes.
Yeah? So this is like a movie before many of your times. But like, Rain Man like had the type of memory that he would know how many matches were in the matchbox. He would know the serial numbers. On the Gemara says that if I know the serial numbers on the dollar bill, it doesn't help anything because money is meant to be spent. So it doesn't prove, right? It's circulated. It goes around and around. So it doesn't really prove anything. Fine. So these are the basic halachos of simanim. Let's move on. How do I go about announcing a lost item? Let's say I find an item. If I find an item and the item has a siman, then I have to announce it to try to return it. That's my halacha. Now, how do I do that? By the way, if I find an item that does not have any siman, so then the halacha is as follows. If I'm not sure if the owner had yeyush yet, if it's been there for a short time, maybe the owner doesn't even realize that he lost it. So I should really not take that item at all. If I take an item and it has no simen, so then the halacha is it should be Yehei Munach Ad Sheyavo Eliyahu, which really means as follows. I could use the item, but I should take a notebook and I should write down in that notebook all the specifics of that item. Right, so I should write down that it's a blue suit size 40 with this and this brand, made in this and this country. It's all the specs I write down. I could use it. I could use it after, but right, I'll keep that paper with me. I'll keep that notebook with me, and then maybe at some point later on I'll have to return it. That's the. That's the halacha if an item does not have a simen. If it does have a simen, so I have to announce it to try to get it back to the owner. So, Barishona, Bav Metzia Chav Chesem Beis, the bottom of page 3. Barishona, Komi Shematza Aveda Hayam Akrizala Hashlosha Regalim. Originally, if you find an Aveda, you'd announce it for 3 Yamim Tovim. V'acha Regla Acharon Shiras Yamim. It's 3 Yamim Tovim plus a week. Kadesh Yeleh Shosha Vyasar Shosha Vyakhriz Yamechan. Mishakar Baitam Bikdashi Banebim. Hey Rabbi Aminu Hitkinush Yumachrizim Batek Nesi also Batim Drashos. Originally they would announce an Aveda on the 3 Yamim Tovim. That we would go up on the 3 pilgrimage festivals. No? It sounds like something out of Canterbury Tales. Right? So we'd go up on the 3 pilgrimage festivals, we'd announce the Aveda, and then after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, So they said that you should announce the Aveda in the shuls, in the Batei Midrashos. We don't announce it in the Beis HaMikdash anymore. There's a good discussion, the Gemara. What do you announce? You announce that I found a suit, or do you announce I found something? And the conclusion of the Gemara is that you announce that you found a suit. We're not worried that like some guys can say, oh, a suit, and like come up with excuses. No, since you have to give simonim anyway, it doesn't matter. So we paskin that you should announce it in shul and in the base medrash. What does that mean? So if you live in a community, let's say, for example, Washington Heights, there's a few different shuls. When you find something on Bennett Avenue, do you announce it in Breuer's? Do you announce it in Dombrov? Do you announce it in Mount Sinai? Do you say maybe it's found on Bennett, but it came from someone who lives on Fort Wash? Do you announce it in the base? Do you say maybe it came from someone who's in YU, Rachman al-Atzlan, and you have to announce it there also? Where do you announce it? What are the shoals? Do you only announce it in the one shoal that's closest? This is a great mystery in Judaism.
Facebook, there's only like a couple.
So Facebook! Oh, so wait a second. Wait, we'll get there.
Lots of people don't read Facebook.
So how do you announce a lost item? So in this sefer, in the Badei HaShulchan, in Simon Reis Lamech Zayin, Sifkat and Tes Vav, Tes Zayin, he says that, you know what, it would seem that if there's a bunch of shuls in the area, you should announce in those local shuls. Even though it might come from somebody who lives a little bit farther away, you don't have to worry about that. Basically, the Chachamim don't want to be matriach you too much with Aveda, so they say, you know what, do the most reasonable, best thing. If there's one shul that's close and all others, only announce it in that one shul. End of conversation. How long do you have to announce it for? In their times, they used to announce it for the three Yamim Tovim. Today, unclear. Do you announce it for 7 days? Do you announce it for three Yamim Tovim? Do you announce it for 1 day? It's really unclear how you do it. Now, there is a discussion in the poskim. Do you have to take out an ad in the newspaper to announce it? So, as a matter of halacha, Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, since we pass in Siman Reis Samachai Se'if Aleph, that you don't have to lose any money to return an Aveda. No? Basically, I don't have to lose any money, right? And if I lose money, if I have to take off a day from work to return your item, so you have to pay me for my day of work that I took off.
And suppose you make more money than he does.
So then I don't have to. Right? In other words, if my work is worth more than the whole Aveda, I find a big pen, even if it says Yeshivat Chum Vetorah on it, but to return it's going to take a whole day of work, right? So you don't have to. But the fact is that if you don't have to, you're not allowed, you don't have to lose money to return the Aveda, so therefore poskim say you don't have to take out an ad in the newspaper. Even if there's a newspaper that will give you a free ad, even if you have Facebook that will, Facebook is free as far as I know, no?
I mean, ads
it's probably not free.
The
ads,
posts are free. Yeah.
What?
Posts are free
on Facebook. Right? Ads on Facebook are expensive. Again, I'm sure that one could argue that even posting on Facebook ends up costing money because of the algorithms that they use to try to figure out what you're interested in and whatever. Yeah. It's such a... They know so much about you. It's unbelievable. But... Poskim say that there's really no obligation to do this. If you look over here, I give a tshuva of Rav Moshe Sternbach in Chelak Gimel, Simen Tov Samach Dal. In the first paragraph, Moshe Sternbach says that he thinks you should announce it for a week. And he writes, in terms of announcing in newspapers, come on, no one reads the newspapers, especially the little stuff in the back of the paper. You know, like they have like legal advertising in the back of the newspapers and stuff. Who reads those? No one reads it. So Moshe Sternbach says, come on, like it doesn't really, it won't do anything. So therefore, you don't have to put it in the newspapers. Here, Moshe Feinstein writes in Chelak Beis Siman Mem Hei, right, the two sentences before the end, Ubitonim sheyadua shekorim otam, if you have newspapers that you know people read, right, that itself is a chiddush. Gam shu davar tov lahachriz, avo eno mochuyev lahotzi hotzo, so lachayev lama'abed l'shalmo. right? You're not obligated to spend any money to return the Aveda, so you don't have to take any ads out in the newspapers. Okay, so the best way to announce things probably is to hang a sign on the local bulletin board. It happens that here in the Heights, there are local bulletin boards here in this shul. There are bulletin boards in a number of shuls. That's probably what you should do. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, interestingly, that he thinks you should also put a paper by the elevators in the large buildings where many people live. So I hang up. We have that sometimes, like in my building. Somebody says, I found one baby sock or something. Right?
You post that on YU Community.
Right? You post that on YU Community Western. Those types of things. Again, right, it's probably not a bad idea to do it. Me'ikar hadin, the halacha is that you should announce it in shul. You could probably just hang up the sign, take it down in a few days, a week, you're probably yotzei all opinions, and that is just wonderful. So what do we do? Issue 3 that I said we'd get to tonight. Here in Mount Sinai, we have the following problem, which I think all shuls have, that we have an accumulation of junk. You know, there's like 1-800-GOT-JUNK or something,
yeah.
Right? We could really bring them in. And there's tons of stuff, but these things have belonged to people. What can we do with this stuff? So, the shul a couple of weeks ago decided, the new administration came in, and they decided that, you know what, we're going to take all the stuff that's accumulated in the shul, and we'll leave it in the room for a week, and we'll tell people that they can come and take it. And after a week, if they don't come and take it, we'll throw it out. Now, when I found out about this, I didn't like that idea. Because I think it's really against the halacha. Right? You can't just take the items and say, you have a week, and then... Right? Because the items are really avedas, they're really lost, and there are halachos about how to go about returning them, and you could be responsible for it. It's not at all simple. So I don't know what we can do. I don't think we can do anything for the stuff that's accumulated over the past years. So if Schechter at one point in YU felt that like you could maybe do a Hefker Bezdin, and maybe you could convene a Bezdin and declare all the stuff is Hefker, I don't know. That's not done in most places. I think the stuff, the accumulated junk over the past years, on some level, you're stuck with it. I don't know what you can do. There is a Drisha who says that when the stuff has been there for a full year, you can assume that the owner has completely given up on it. I spoke to Reb Feivel Cohen at a wedding around a year and a half ago. He's like, yeah, we don't hold like that Jerusha. That's like not really accepted. So the accumulated junk from all the past years is very, very hard to think of something. Frida, you had a comment?
Well, some of that stuff somebody probably does miss. Like there's a couple of Tallis bags and stuff like
right.
that. But some of it is like books about covers and
again, so, you know, but here's the problem. As a matter of halacha, if it's an item that has a siman, there's an obligation to return it. So, like, it's what do we do? Like, are we stuck? Do we have to, like, take out a big book and call it Yehi Munach HaKshiyavu Eliyahu book and just write everything down? Maybe that's an option.
You have to rent space at Sophia Brothers.
What?
You have to rent the storage locker at Sophia Brothers.
For those books themselves, yeah. I don't know.
In the shul I grew up in, there are talis bags that are still in shul of people
who have been dead for 34 years.
Or no, for 3 years, and their kids have not taken the talis bags yet.
Right. So again, so you should probably contact the kids, and yeah, what is your name?
Zachary.
Oh, hi Zachary, how are you?
Yeah, very well. So, does posting a sign that says...
Wait, excellent. So look at Rav Moshe Tshuva Beis. So Rav Moshe writes, before I get to Rav Moshe Tshuva Beis, so the shul decided, after I told them that I don't think you can just like say that all this stuff will dump it in a week, the shul decided, okay, so moving forward, what we'll do is, we have this newsletter, it's called the Kesher. So they include in the Kesher, they included Lost and Found. Please be mindful of leaving personal items around the shul. Anything left after 30 days will be considered hefker and may be donated to charity. So they put it over here. So is this considered adequate notice? It seems to me absolutely not. Because how many of you read this? It was in the Kesher. How many of you actually read that line?
I saw some sign to that effect somewhere.
So no one reads the newsletters. Okay? It, people don't read it. And you know what? Even if people do read the newsletter, here's the thing. My intended audience over here isn't only the members in Mount Sinai who are blessed to read the brilliance in the Kesher. My intended audience also has to include all of the community members who are going to show up and might leave their jacket, coat, talis, orangutan, whatever it is, in the shul. Right? So having a notice in the Kesher doesn't help. So Zachary has a suggestion that Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, which I think we have to do. V'hinei. Tov l'taken l'gabe aveda shenimtza b'yeshiva, shem lo ba bal ha'aveda b'zman mesuyam, sha'az ha'aveda tiya la yeshiva olam motza. It's a good idea to institute in the yeshiva that if the owner does not come by a certain time, that the item will belong to the yeshiva or will belong to the person who finds it. Utzrichim lehodiyah lefarsem ha'takana lechobnei ha'yeshiva kedei shi'achol. You have to announce it for all the members of the yeshiva for it to take effect. Ukishiyadu avadai u'af b'safek sh'ama'abed haya ish mibachutz shel shayach shi'eda ha'takana. If you know that the person who lost it, even if you have a question, the person who lost it might be someone from the outside who does not know of this takana, then it doesn't help. But mistama, you don't have to worry that it is one of these people because we go basaru if we follow the majority. So effectively what Ramosha is saying is that you can make a takana. You could say that the policy here is any item that was left after 30 days belongs to the institution. I think that the best thing to do is that we should hang signs by the courtroom upstairs, the courtroom down here, that say clearly any item left after 30 days belongs to Mount Sinai, and then it becomes ours. Alternatively, actually, they quote in that English book of Halachas of Other People's Money, so they quote that Reb Nissen Karelitz says that even if you write it belongs to the institution, it doesn't mean it belongs to the institution, anyone could still come and take it. Right? It just means it doesn't belong to the owner anymore after 30 days. But I think you have to really hang the signs in places we'll see it. So I asked the show office to hang signs. As of yet, they haven't done it. I hope that they'll get to do it pretty soon. It seems to me that this is an important thing, that we should really be hanging signs throughout the building. Wherever, any place in the building that's likely that people will lose signs, so just hang a sign. But that sign will only help from now forward. All the stuff that accumulated from all the years, this won't help. And really what we'd have to do is, if we want to throw this stuff out or whatever, we'd have to assess how much it's worth, write it in a book, write down all the information of that item, and if people later on come, we'll have to pay them for the item, what it's worth. So we're right that we found a talus bag with a talus in the 1950s, and like we could throw it out after, whatever it is. You could use it, you could throw it out, but we will be on the hook if a person comes to want to pay for it. That's called Yehemunah Chashiyev Eliyahu. I think those are some of the halachos. So,
but I still understand why you can't just, if it's older than three shvat shalom.
If it's what?
If it's older than however much you would spend time announcing it, well, why can't you just throw it out just because it's been enough time that the person would also look for announcements like you do?
A, we didn't announce it. B, these items often don't have a simen. You only announce an item with a real simen. These things don't have a simen. What? A talus bag has a simen. Talus bag has a simen. It says Ezra Yair on it. It says whatever. But if you have an item without a simen, you have a plain coat. It's Eddie Bauer coat. There's 24,000 of them. There's like, I mean, it's mass produced. There's no simen on those things. Right? There's no name in it. If there's a name, you have to try to return it. What? So whether Makom is a simen, I don't think Makom is a simen in the shul, because that's like what the Gemara says at Raksa de Nahara, a place where everyone leaves stuff. The Makom is not a simen.
So why is it, as someone understood, I don't know, you might have said this before, but why isn't it assumed that there's Yeyush anyway? No,
because it could be that we picked it up before there was Yeyush. There's a halacha of Yeyush lo midas, if you don't know that you lost it, and you know, we just don't know. We just don't know. An item without a simen, you're saying, if you know that the if it was enough time that we know for sure the guy was miyayish and it's in the same area that amount of time, you're right, then we can keep it. But if we already moved the items from place to place, that means I picked it up potentially before the yayish. I don't know. I don't know what to do with all these items that have been here all the time. Because it could be we picked it up before yayush, in which case I'm stuck. And I have to write it down or whatever. I don't know what to do. Okay, so these are some of the points I want to discuss. We have to think about whether we'll have shir next week. Honestly, I'm going to sleep on it for tonight. And then we'll decide. The next topic I want to do is the question of ribis. Ribis has nothing to do with frogs. ribis is about interest. We'll discuss that. I hope it'll be interesting. Okay.